We'll turn to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. Well, it's probably my favorite psalm in the entire Bible. Although I have others' favorites, like Psalm 1 and 2. Now, 37 has always been especially the first couple of verses there, I've always kind of relied on that. And, you know, where it says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, that are called according to His purpose. And Psalm kind of, 37th Psalm kind of backs that up. We're going to read verse 1 through 7 to start with. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the men who bring wicked device to pass. The man who bring wicked device to pass. Let us pray again first. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessings upon your word, that you'd give me wisdom and open our hearts and minds to your word, Lord, that we'd be receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says, don't worry. Fret not thyself. In other words, don't worry about it. It's sometimes, you know, we observe, and the nation of Israel observed for many years, you know, these promises were to them too, but they, for the most part, haven't come to them yet. The nation of Israel's been waiting for many, many years to of course, they have the land now, but they don't have all of the land. They have some of it, but they don't have near all of it. And they won't have it all until Jesus returns and gives it to them. They may have it all during a short period, during the tribulation period. The Antichrist may give it to them when he comes to dwell in their temple there for a short time. But these promises are to us. And sometimes it seems like, you know, of course we don't look at time like God does, you know. We think, it says that I'm going to trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. A lot of people wait a long time and they say, where's the Lord's promises, you know? But He promised, and He'll deliver. And it seems like the wicked just keep prospering, doesn't it? But that's not, you know, and they do for a time. But if you'll notice, most of them, their lives are cut short. Many, and if it's not cut short, they live a pretty miserable life. I knew a man here in Greenup County, and if I'd say his name, everybody who lives in Greenup County would know who I'm talking about. He was a businessman, but he was just so hard and so wicked, and nobody liked him. Nobody. And he died a few years ago, and said he was a Jew. I don't know whether he was or not. But whatever he was, he's at his reward now. He never was. He always claimed to be prosperous, but if you looked at his place and his house, he didn't look too prosperous. I don't know what kind of money he had, but money isn't prosperity. You know, and we'll see that here in the Psalm, but it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, and don't be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And I just take that, take God at his word when he says that's going to happen, that they're not always going to prosper. And we see so much wickedness in our country today, and it seems like those men, like especially in Washington, they stay there and they live there forever, you know. But there's coming a day. They're all going to die. They're all going to die. And they're all going to stand in judgment. Trust in the Lord and do good. This is a promise to us. I've known people that seemed to be poor all their lives financially, but they were happy. God always fed them. God always met their needs. It was always there. Even though, and they always had a place to live, you know. It wasn't fancy. But they all had, some of them had a good cooking stove and a coal stove in the living room. We had that when I was growing up. But they always had their needs met. In verse 4 it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, I desire a new yacht. One of those great big long ones, you know, with the sails and everything. But it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. If you're delighting yourself in the Lord, I don't think that yacht's going to be high on your priority list. I think the desires of your heart may be to see souls saved. The desires of your heart may be to see your family saved. It may be good health for your loved ones. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. If you're delighting yourself in the Lord, you're not going to desire too many worldly goods. You're going to desire the things that please the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit your way unto the Lord. You know, the way we live, if your way to live is to have a great big house and fine automobiles and all the toys and everything, I don't think you're committing your way to the Lord. The first thing you need to do is ask the Lord, which way should I go? What should be the way that I go? And He will bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. He's going to, your righteousness will show. It'll light up all those around you. They'll see it. They'll see what you are. And they will bless the Lord because of the way you live and the way you are. And judgment as the noonday. In other words, your judgment will be clear and bright, and you'll make wise judgments. You won't make decisions that I put on Facebook this week that I don't, a lot of people are depressed. I said that if you live on a farm, you don't have time to get depressed. You're too busy doing and this is what a preacher told me when I first got saved. If you're busy doing the things you ought to be doing, you won't have time to do the things you ought not to be doing. You do right. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We shouldn't be envious of those who are doing evil. They seem to be having a good time, but they're not always having a good time. Some of the richest people, like that one guy created that goony, that big airplane, that goofy looking Howard Hughes. He became a recluse. Nobody saw him the last many years of his life. He hid away. And why would that be? You know, a man like that couldn't be very happy. And there was a lady that, Deborah Padgett, remember Deborah Padgett? She played in movies. She played in movies with Elvis and other movies. And then she quit movies and she started to, well, in fact, yes, she got saved and she was going to church down there and she went all, she was on television for a while and was singing and then she dropped out of society and more or less became a recluse there in Dallas until she died. But I don't know what her life was like, you know, but money and fame doesn't seem to always bring happiness. Maybe she was happy sitting in her apartment. I don't know. I couldn't be happy sitting in the apartment very long. About 5 minutes, maybe, or an hour. I'd have to be out doing something. In verse, we're going to read verse 8 through 16. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any way to do evil. Boy, that's hard these days, you know. You see all the things that are going on and you just want to hurt somebody, you know. The things that are going on in the government and so forth. But God's in charge, you know. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He's the one who judges. It's not up to us to take God's law in our own hands. We have to rely on him and leave it up to him. And the outcome will be better for everybody, especially for ourselves. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That word wait there in verse 9 means to rely upon the Lord. It doesn't necessarily mean to sit and wait on him, you know. It means to put your burden on him. To wait on the Lord means to lay your burden upon the Lord. Let him be in charge. They shall inherit the earth. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. For yet a little while. As I said, it seems like a long while to us, you know. We're waiting for the wicked. There's some men that are famous, and I'll not mention their names, but we wonder how they can live so long, you know. One old man is so ugly that it kind of reminds me of that picture of Dorian Gray. There was a book called A Picture of Dorian Gray, and there was a movie about it. And when he was a young man, he made a pact with the devil, you know, and somebody wanted to paint his picture. And every place he went, he was just acclaimed, you know, and he was just so famous and everything. And one day that he had that picture hanging on the wall, and one day it started changing, you know, and he looked at it. And some time went by, and he kept looking at that picture, and it got uglier and uglier and uglier, you know. And finally he took the picture and hid it in his attic. It became so hideous that he couldn't look at it anymore, And then one day he went into the into the attic and saw the picture, how terrible it was, and it killed him. He died on the spot. He sold his soul to the devil, and the picture was a picture of his soul, you know. But he remained looking very young until that time that he went to the attic, and then all of a sudden he started changing and looking like the picture. But this one famous man that we have in our country reminds me of him. His face is so hideous, and he's getting older and older, but he seems to be very, very wealthy man. He seems to be doing okay, and he's the one behind a lot of the stuff that's going on in the country. But one of these days, his picture's going to get awful ugly. Of course, it'd have to get awful ugly to get any uglier than he is. But a little while and the wicked shall not be. He's gonna meet his end. I don't care. He's not gonna live forever. He may be the devil, but even the devil's gonna meet his end. But the meek shall inherit the earth. That word meek means even. The even shall inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. Those who are oldest alike. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The Lord's going to say, aha, you may be prosperous, you may be wicked, but there's an end. You and I can't see the end, but the Lord sees the end, and He knows where it's at. I'm 83 years old, so I've observed a number of men like that who seem to be doing good, you know, but their end was coming. It didn't take too many years for it to happen. The Lord shall laugh at him. For he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. I often think of my grandma, and I've talked about her before, you know, and they had so little, and yet they helped others, you know, and gave it to others, and God multiplied it, and always supplied their needs. They always had their needs met. Sometimes Mom would have to take a biscuit with sugar and grease on it to school. But at least they had some sugar and grease, you know. Back then, sugar didn't cost much, but they always had hogs, so they killed hogs, and they had grease to put on the biscuit. And when the bacon ran out, the ham ran out, they put the lard on the biscuit. It's better than your belly sticking together. But God always supplied their needs, even though they were poor. When I was growing up, there was a lot of poor people that just lived on the farm, you know, and they just farmed, and that was all they had. But they always, you know, I never knew they were poor. I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't know what poor was, you know. I mean, if somebody didn't have enough to eat, I knew they were poor. I had relatives that their dad wouldn't work, and they were very poor. One of them said she picked up a candy wrapper one day, and stuck it in her pocket, and she'd take it out and smell of it every now and then. That's how poor they were. The wickedness will always make you hungry. It'll always bring you to poverty. A little that a righteous man has is better than riches of many wicked. But if a man's righteous, God says, I have seen the, been young and now I'm old, and never have I seen the righteous going hungry nor his seed begging bread. If you've got a little, Jesus can make a lot out of it. He can multiply it. That sugar-coated biscuit tastes like a steak. If you're hungry, but it fills your belly. God always supplies your needs, and He doesn't always supply your wants. Doesn't always want to give you everything you want. Imagine if God gave us everything we wanted, our houses would be so full of junk that you couldn't even walk through it. There'd be cars all over the yard, boats, and horses, and saddles. We'd have everything. Even Christians want things, you know. I see things that I want, you know, but I thought, well, I don't have room for that. And it'd just be an aggravation. You know, the more stuff you got, the more aggravation you got. And I can tell you that. I got two farms, and they work you from daylight till dark with very little return for it. The more, whenever you get married, boys, just get you a little house someplace with a little yard that you could mow with a weed eater. And you'll be happy. And a little car that ain't got too many fancy gadgets on it. That's the reason it says a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many, many wicked. You can imagine the people that have billions of dollars, how much they sit around worrying about it. They asked Rockefeller one time, how much would you be satisfied with? He said, how much is there? They were sitting around with billions of dollars and wondering where they're going to get the next billion is coming from. It's better to have just what you need than that. And you don't need much. No matter how many, the more toys you got, if you got enough of them, you'll be working on them all the time. You won't have any time to do anything. You need to take time to love your mate, and, love your family, and do things with them. And life will soon be past, and none of those things is going to go with you. I see a cartoon one time. This guy was walking into hell, and he had two suitcases, you know, full of money. And the devil says, so you brought it with you, now what? You're not going to be able to, even if you took it with you, you wouldn't have any use for it. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. Verse 18 says, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Your days on this earth may be numbered, you know, may be limited, but your inheritance shall be forever. You may not inherit a lot of gold and silver and stuff like that, but the things that you inherit You won't need any gold and silver. You're going to inherit the kingdom of God. You're going to inherit the earth. We're going to come back and rule and reign with Christ. And we're going to bring all of the things that that we laid up in heaven with us. But we're not going to bring any things that we laid up here with us. Those will perish. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. That word ashamed there means that they'll not come short. They'll not be cheated. They'll not come short of the things that they need in evil time and the things that God has for them. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Famine, everybody else is hungry, but you'll be full. Or you'll be happy being hungry. One or the other. You're going to be satisfied anyway. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. They shall consume away. Isn't that something? Those who have so much now that on the last day they have nothing. They'll have nothing. And in the next life, nothing. In verse 21 it says, "The wicked borroweth and payeth not again. But the righteous showeth mercy and giveth." And most of the time, when that word borrows means that he takes and he doesn't pay it again. And the righteous shows mercy and gives. He doesn't borrow, but he pays. He doesn't take, but he gives. There's a difference in the wicked takes from the poor, you know. Just like they're getting ready to tax everybody to death that has anything. And the ones that don't have anything, they're going to tax them too. But they don't expect anything back. But the righteous shows mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. And they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. There's a lot of difference in the righteous man and the good and the wicked man. The wicked, as I said, takes and takes and takes. And the righteous gives and gives and gives. You can't outgive God. The more you give, the more he gives you back and blesses you. More and more and more. I can attest to that, you know. God has always blessed me. He's always... Not that I'm such a righteous man, but I'm righteous in Jesus Christ. His righteousness is my righteousness and the only righteousness I have. But he's promised to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And for these last 83 years, he has. I don't know if it's going to stop or not, but so far, so good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us. We thank you for the way that you provide our needs. We thank you, Lord, that you, for your word, where you show that the righteous man, those who are satisfied with what you give them, are much more blessed than those who take and take and take and have so many things in this world, but to have no peace. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd help us to be the righteous man. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.